Welcome to SesterCast, the Orphan Black podcast. I'm Jean McDonald, and I'm watching this series for the third time. My co-host, Kathy Campbell, is watching for the first time, and so we make sure not to spoil any storylines beyond the episode we are currently discussing, which is so few episodes to go. Kathy, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing good, and I'm ready to be able to safely search the internet and watch YouTube videos without being concerned about spoilers.
Oh my, yes. It's been quite a while now since the series ended, and the internet just assumes like a minute after the series ends, everybody can spoil. And so yep. You are brave to hold it together before then.
Oh, some days are more difficult than others, that's for sure.
Yeah. I actually remember when I saw this episode when it aired, we were, you know, like two or three episodes into this podcast, and I said, Kathy, I don't know if I can wait until next April to discuss this episode with you. Of course, we didn't make it to April. We did make it to April. We didn't get out an episode a week according to the calendar. So it's December 2018, and I'm so happy we finally got here because I couldn't wait to talk with you about this one. I just think it's such a interesting and lovely episode.
Yes, it was so delightful. It was very good reliefs almost. Mm-hmm. We've had, and I swear I say this every time, but Orphan Black does such a great job at balancing the high stress versus the humor. Mm-hmm. And it's like they know when you need a break, yeah. But they're still going to move the plot forward. They're still going to give you, you know, that storyline, and yet they still let you have that release, that breathing moment. And this is a perfect episode. You know, it's episode 3 in the 5th season. We had 2 really intense, really strong episodes, and now we come back and have time for this, which is perfect, especially for my personal mood. I needed something a little bit lighter, so it's like they knew.
They know, even when they don't know, since, you know, it's like Santa Claus. They see you when you're stressing, and they give you a little treat like this.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so this episode, is, as you said, it's the 3rd episode of season 5. And the title of it is Beneath Her Heart, which comes from the poem Protest by Ella Wilcox Wheeler. We've been mentioning this every episode this season. And again, it's a super short poem. Everybody should just go and read it because it will not take you more than a minute, I promise. But it is quite moving. And this bit comes from the second stanza, which is all about how we can't rest until people who are struggling or suffering, you know, have their struggle or suffering relieved. And this line comes from, until the mother bears no burden save the precious one beneath her heart. Like, wow, so sweet. And of course, we have a lot of mothers in this episode to look at. And Allison, of course, Sarah. Helena is not, you know, Helena is in hiding, and only Donnie knows where she is. But she, of course, has 2 precious ones beneath her heart.
Yes.
And we'll see how that works out in this episode, which is one of those episodes we just have to start at the beginning and we go to the end.
Yep.
And it's interesting because it's another flashback episode, which I kind of forgot. Right. You're at the Hendrix's house. We know that house. We know Bailey Downs. That's Donnie and Allison's suburban neighborhood in Siberia or Scarberia, as Felix
Scarberia, yep.
And so this episode opens with a dinner party, like the most suburban of dinner parties, with Allison and Donnie and Ainsley and Chad. So Ainsley gets back into the back in front of the camera for one more episode at least.
Yeah. Obviously I knew that Ainsley had died. Like, mm-hmm. I that part was in my head, but I have an issue with like facial blindness, mm-hmm. recognition. And so I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, they're having a dinner party, and then it's Allison answers the phone and it's Beth, and I was like, wait a second, that was Ainsley. We're flashbacking. Yeah. We're having that moment. And it was just like, oh, that was really entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I really admire how they do this, because Ainsley, you know, died very dramatically at the end of season one. Yes. And Allison was the witness of that death and did not try to save her. And Chad was, you know, Ainsley's horrible, unfaithful husband, who Allison had the little romp in the parking lot of the sports center with. I mean, it feels like ancient history, but it really wasn't that long ago, chronologically speaking. So I'm impressed that they bring the actors back, and Ainsley especially. And it doesn't feel like, I mean, they've made them up, or, you know, they haven't aged that much in 5 years, because the show has been on for 5 years. But I'm pretty sure the action covers not much more than 1 year. So
yeah,
there's Ainsley resurrected and looking beautiful and making you feel like, oh, she's a great friend.
Yeah, so nice. And then they bring out the have a conversation to shake things up a bit.
That was funny.
Which I laughed so hard, because I knew that it wouldn't be swinging, partially because we knew, like, because she had the affair with Chad.
Oh, that's true.
Like, that was the first time that they had interacted, shall we say? Right. And so I was just like, okay, so that's not it. But I wonder if they're actually proposing that, because that's how it sounded. And then, no, it's just magic mushrooms, which still acceptable.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and there was that Donnie and Allison both going like, oh, thank God, that's not what they mean. Or at least, thank God, we weren't really prepared for that. But
right.
So Allison has gotten this call from Beth, and Allison had tried to just say, Beth, just leave me alone. We look alike. It's just weird, but it's nothing more than that. But she gets, you know, a text from Beth. Because Beth is after her to meet Cosima, and she's stressed, and she's like, you know what? Let's do these mushrooms, you know? So they do. Yeah. Right. And that's how the show opens. Then they switch to another scene, which is from, you know, present day, according to the timeline. And it's Donnie and Allison in their living room. And that kind of creepy Mr. Frontenac trying to put pressure on them to find out where Helena is.
Because they pretty much know that Donnie knows something. Because Donnie's not very good at hiding things. but he's pretty good so far at, like, keeping this secret.
And
so it's really it's nice to see Donnie being solid. You know, he's not giving anything away. He's not really, like, they're just hanging out, yeah. not really knowing what's going on. And instead, Frontenac comes in with the deep stabbing through the ribs to the heart digs at Allison.
Yeah.
You know, that she's not smart. She lives in this world that's different than everything else. She's not a scientist. She's, you know, not really a mother. Obviously, that is not my personal thoughts. Just put it out there, listeners. She absolutely is a mother. But like digging the fact that she's not fertile and she basically is not really a helpful clone. Like, nobody really matters. Yeah. She doesn't really matter. Which kind of reflects conversations that she's had, you know, in season one as to what she was contributing, just contributing the money. Mm-hmm. She contributed the gun, but like overall, it's always kind of been a thing, where she's just not been able to really contribute as much as the others mm-hmm. have. And that's been something that, like, I can tell it hurts her heart a little mm-hmm. bit. And so that's kind of brings along the whole story for the whole episode, really, is her journey for that, which is really great.
Right. And then it cut back to Ainsley and Chad and Allison, you know, totally high on mushrooms. You have to laugh a little bit with Donnie saying, like, here's some water for everybody, and I've got poison control on speed dial.
Right. And Allison is all, my hand is purple, and it makes the air all fuzzy.
Right.
I thought that was super cute.
But then Allison gets another phone call, and she's it's basically is Beth telling her to go out, you know, to your front door. And she is leaving the house as, you know, Donnie's trying to say, like, oh, shouldn't we, you know, not forget the buddy system? And she's like, no, I'm going on my own. And there was a couple times in this, because I was trying to remember, look, this is the Donnie, the pre-glue gun Donnie. Okay. So this is Donnie when he, you know, he was a clueless suburban house husband or whatever, you know, a dad and a husband. And he had an attitude vis-a-vis Allison that we didn't like. And you don't see it totally here, but you see a couple things in that scene in particular for me where he says, don't you think we should be turning that off? And I was like, wah, that's not how you talk to your wife, you know. And there was a couple of moments like also over the mushrooms where he's like, no, I don't, you know, I don't think we should do that. And he looks at Allison and is like, why don't we open another Merlot or something? And that's when she decides she wants to do the mushrooms. I mean, she's stressed, but she's also like, screw you. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do what Ainsley's doing. So there was just like that undertone of he tries to control her.
Right. And this was also at the time when he was still the monitor.
Right.
He was still, you know, following instructions from Leaky to do what needed to be done. And so he had this other level of needing to take care of her. Mm-hmm. Because remember, you know, he didn't really know what it was for or any of that. And so that's probably why he chose not to take the mushrooms, but still to like take care of everything, because he had to make sure that he could report back mm-hmm. whatever happened, because he was under the impression for all of this was like all sorts of health reasons. So of course mushrooms will affect the health. Right.
No, that's an excellent point. So Allison goes out to the front porch.
Allison, she gets a text from Beth to tell her to go right. outside. And so she does, and it's Cosima. And this scene was so funny. Yeah. Because they both, Cosima and Allison, react to medical intervention very differently. And seeing like the camera work was really funny to showcase like kind of how Allison was feeling yeah. versus what was really happening.
That was really well done.
You know, fish eyes and laughing hysterically, and it was so great. And here's Cosima coming in like, hey, let's talk about the science things. And Allison goes, you have a nose ring. And it was just, it was so funny. It was yeah. so well done, as per usual. And I just was really entertained by it.
Yeah, I love that. Just like that. They didn't do much of that in this series. But this way of showing somebody's frame of mind by showing the person who's talking to them, the way they are perceiving them, and then showing how they actually are. So Cosima, not yeah. that Cosima doesn't indulge, but Cosima is, you know, stone cold sober. And Allison sees her as like this crazy person. Yeah. And right. that was really funny because it's not like Cosima hasn't been like that either.
Right, right. You know, we've seen a little bit of that, and so that just kind of hits home more than if we had seen this this scene earlier. It definitely would have been a very different scene, mm-hmm. I think.
Agreed. So then they cut.
Then we move on to a memorial yeah. for MK. Mrs. S is lighting candles, and they put down all of these beautiful pieces of, you know, art and things that mean a lot for both parties, I think, both MK and then, you know, memorial things. Kira puts in what looks like a sticker of the little face that MK utilized, and there was a portrait that I'm pretty sure Felix probably drew
yeah.
of MK with the sheep's mask. And it just was really meaningful. And Allison and Donnie are Skyping in for the memorial. And Allison puts down a very intricate folded paper flower, which I thought was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Of course, it's Allison.
And right. And they just had this moment. And again, Allison is having this hard time. She's feeling useless because like they can't even go physically to the memorial because they're right. being watched. And so on top of the fact that she had this conversation where Mr. Jerkface was telling her that she was useless, she's feeling useless because she can't even mourn her sister in person and feels like she wished that she could have helped mm-hmm. more. And it just, yeah.
Right.
She is having a hard right. time for sure.
And Mrs. S tells them, you know, everybody should lay low, you know, today and kind of like take the yep. day off from action adventure Sestra mode. And right. Let's have a day of mourning. And Allison's like, yep, I'll go back to my useless life, like I've been told. And I was like, Allison, yep. poor Allison.
I know.
And then in their house, Donnie and Allison are talking about the fall fun fair, the church fall fun fair, which was mentioned last week, just very briefly, that she got the voicemail saying she was not in charge of anything this year. And it turns out
right.
Nona Walker is in charge. And we already dislike her just from her name. I don't know why. And apologies to people named Nona out there, Nona Walker. But the way that Allison says it, I'm like, yeah, Nona Walker's in charge. I don't want to go.
Yeah, it was so... I was like, oh, goody, this is going to be great and terrible at the same time. because not only has she been told that she's not really a mom and she's not really contributing to the Clone Club, now she gets one of the many things that she's put together taken away from her. So she is feeling useless even in her crafting life, which is hard, for someone that likes to be in control and likes to manage things and whatnot. Like, it's difficult for sure.
I like how Donnie says to her, your life isn't ruined. It's just waiting for you to come back and sparkle it up. And I thought, aw.
Yes.
That was very sweet. Yeah. I mean, Donnie is so different from the Donnie of season one, early season one, or even flashback Donnie. He's Donnie who says the right thing.
Yes.
And he wants to get her, you know, psyched about it because they have their duet, plus he has his dance. And what did you think when he said, I have my dance?
I was like, huh, that's interesting. Because when you think of Donnie, dancing is not even in the top five of things that he could probably do. And also, while they're having this conversation, Allison finds drugs in the back of one of the cupboards that she had stored from her happy fun times. And so she slips them into her pocket as she leaves. And is just like, all right, well, I'm going to go.
I'm going to go.
And just.
I'm going to basically take the whole thing right back over. And Donnie's like, not actually what I had in mind.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway. So then she gets to the fun fair. What?
Yes. And comes in and she makes a grand entrance because Nona's messing things up. Because obviously you put the beverages on a separate table. Like, everyone knows that, except for Nona, apparently.
Yeah. Nona is not exhibiting Allison-level confidence to begin with. You know, people say, what should I do with this? And she'll be like, well, what do you think? Should we put it here? Should we put it there? And it's like, lady, you are no Allison Hendricks.
And plus, I loved the comment about, oh, I know that's heavy, but where do you think we should put it? And like, just tell her to put it somewhere so she doesn't have to hold it and like or drop it. And yeah, it was very, it was so.
I'm impressed with the writers, I have to say, because, you know, most of Orphan Black is quite, you know, out there, sci-fi adventure, action, you know, wild theories. But they can also totally nail the church fun fair and the kinds of personalities who would be there.
Yes. It's like they know. They've experienced this, I'm sure. Because it feels very spot on. Mm-hmm. They all know what they've... Yeah, they know. They have experienced this.
Yeah. And, you know, Nona says to Allison, look, first she says, like, oh, you're here early, which was just complete, you know, passive-aggressive dig. And
it doesn't open until blah, blah. And I'm just like, you're going then there.
Allison's like, or maybe never, we'll never open at the rate you're going, and takes over her clipboard, which, you know, is also wrong. And then Nona's like, oh, Allison, people said you would try to do this. And I was like, no, you're going to use the people said card, because that's also really the worst, especially when you are paranoid about people talking behind your back. And Nona knows that, of course. And she says, so let's not prove them right. Again, this patronizing advice. And Allison's like, okay, goes into the church sanctuary. She's got her bottle of pills, and she starts to take them, but then she's almost like the Grinch. She gets an evil idea.
Well, and it looked like she took
it
one of
like
them.
She, I couldn't tell if she took one or she spit it out, but yeah.
Yeah, because I was watching. I saw her put it in her mouth, and then I was like, oh, is she going to, like, spit it out? What's going on mm-hmm. with this? And yeah, it looked like they just, she swallows mm-hmm. it and puts the other, all the rest in the magical bottle of yeah. iced tea.
And, yeah, and stirs it up. I mean, it's like, she's going to, and she goes and hands it to Nona saying, oh, you must be parched working so hard. And yeah. Nona's like, oh, that's very thoughtful of you. And
I was scared yeah. that she was just going to drink the whole thing yeah. or something along those lines, because I was like, oh no, what's going to happen? Because that was a lot of meds, whatever the meds yeah. were. And we learn later, I was just like, oh no, this is not
would not be good for gonna end anybody, well. But especially Nona, because yeah. she's old. Take that, Nona. Anyway. And Reverend Mike is like, that's so wonderful that you're, you know, able to put aside your disappointment and differences. And God sees yeah. your deeds big and small. And that's Allison going like, oh crap.
Oh,
including this
no.
deed I just did where I gave this lady right. all these drugs, and she grabs a bottle back from her, and a classic Allison line says, oh, I just realized that has been sitting in my car for weeks yeah. and the paraffin alone would have killed you. And I was like, wow. So she gets out of that particular scrape and moves on.
Yes. And you know that this is not going to end well, the whole thing. It's going to be fine. But that's, you know, it's all good. Because let's hop over to Rachel, yeah. Where she's looking at Dr. Leakey's book, and it's just like, Dr. Leakey was so proud, so happy with this. And then Westmoreland apparently actually wrote it, and Aldous just dumbed it down, which I thought was really... an interesting mm-hmm. little tidbit. Who knows how accurate, because yeah. you can never tell. Because I feel like Westmoreland very well could have, you know, dictated, and then Leakey makes it simpler. Or it also could have been something that Westmoreland says to, you know, solidify his fan base yeah. or whatnot. And yeah, so I'm fine with either way.
I have
fine.
A little Westmoreland, a tiny bit of trivia that I had eked out as I was writing up last week's show notes. Westmoreland, P.T. Westmoreland, the last name is not spelled with an E in Moore. So it's West, M-O-R, Land. And I saw that somewhere and I said, well, that's a mistake. But it's in, I think it's in the Amazon Prime descriptions. I mean, I've been spelling it with an E there all along, but somehow that caught my eye.
I have.
And so what I did is I went to a screen cap of the book, you know, the Science of Neolution, which has his name, yeah. you know, imprinted on it. And sure enough, it has no E in it there. I mean, West obviously has an E, but like, that's just not the way you spell Westmoreland yet. I find that 95% of the places I see it referenced, it's spelled incorrectly, but I shall be spelling it correctly from now on. And just letting you
yes.
know that, Kelly, that I did not lose my mind and lose an E, if you noticed that.
I'm okay with that, and we'll also do it appropriately. And the funny thing is so I have... I watched the show with, with mm-hmm. closed captioning on, so I can make sure that I get things right. And I never noticed that it was spelt without an E in all of the things
right.
that I had been watching. Like, it just didn't click that the E was missing. And so it's totally understandable, but that's really good to know.
I mean, I did check it out on the Orphan Black Wiki as well, but I think the book is the original source. Like, they would have spelled his name correctly on the book prop. And
you would hope. Oh, that's good to know.
So
now when we write our tribute, we can make sure it's spelled correctly. But in this, we also learn Mr. Creepy Dude has the ultrasound from Helena, and it's just like, wow, this miraculous, you know, healing happened. And we need to make sure, like, we think these children will be more important to us, our journey, than Kiro is, which is like, oh, this is, you know, not good, but that's fine. You know, let's see what happens. This will all work out one way or the other. Let's hopefully be good, you know, and just like, it's all going to be fine. It's going to be fine. No worries. We're fine. It's all fine. Even though it's Orphan Black. So
yeah.
Who knows?
So basically we know things are not going to be fine, and Rachel will make sure of it. Because now she has Mr. Frontenac, which is French for creepy, yucky dude.
I knew it.
So of course the leverage that they have is they're going to just keep sending the police over to the Hendrix's house and with search warrants. And Donnie answers the door. And
in full regalia.
He looks awesome.
Of course, he does.
Art and Maddie are looking at him like, whatever, dude. What's going on?
They're just like, oh, that's confusing. And I thought that was really entertaining. But the whole everything, he's just like, wait, why are you here? And they're looking for, because he's like, all the charges were dropped. You know, everything should be fine. Everything's copacetic. And they're like, oh no, we have a search warrant, and it's for all of these dead drug dealers and a seriously bloody paper cutter. And so Donnie knows that they're in trouble, because what happens when you go out to a garage? It's not going to end well. We'll just put it that way. It's not going to end well.
I like how Anger says, out of the way, Braveheart.
Yes. I thought that was so funny. It was very entertaining. So I enjoyed it.
Meanwhile, Allison is at church. She is, dealing with the catty neighbors a little bit, or like, what are you doing here? And I thought, why does she even, why does she even care? She has so much going on. Like, how could she ever, like, want to be friends with these people again?
That's okay. Excuse me. I think it's the mindset. But, you know, she's contributed so much to the community and so much time and energy and effort. And then they're treating her as terribly as they are. It's just so heartbreaking. I feel so bad.
And then she sees they have a table, like a memorial table, presumably for people from the community who have passed away. And Ainsley's picture is there, front and center. And then Chad sort of comes up behind her and says, do you ever feel like it is somehow our fault? So he's like, what are you talking about? No.
Yes.
And then she realizes he means, well, because they had an affair. I wouldn't even call it an affair, honestly. They fooled around in a truck one time. But Ainsley made him move out. And so she was all alone when she got the kitchen sink disposal treatment. And no one was there to save her. he says, and Allison's, well, you know, we can't change the past, and let's just change the subject.
Right. Because she obviously has had issues dealing with this mm-hmm. tragedy, and doesn't want to go to jail or anything like this. And having him come in and be, oh yeah, let's do this. Like, what? Yeah. She was feeling very vulnerable.
Yeah.
And that's hard. Yeah.
They go back to this scene where Allison is high on mushrooms and she's like staring in a mirror, like, why do I have this face? Which you think is she's saying because she's so high. Donnie thinks she's saying that because she's so high, but we know she's just seen Cosima and is feeling, you know, kind of unmoored in her identity as a clone. And she's like, yeah. I could have been a cop or I could have been a scientist, but instead I've been microwaving mini pizzas and chauffeuring kids to camp. And
yes.
Yeah. And ironically, as you pointed out, she's looking at Donnie saying, like, you're so normal. And sometimes you look at me, you know, and basically you look at me confused, like, what's wrong with me? And we know that's not the look. The look is my subject is eating magic right. mushrooms right now. I don't know how I'm going to. There's no checkbox for that on the form I have to turn in.
Right? Like, how do I fix this?
So,
yeah, it was funny.
Yeah. Then they show Donnie telling them, like, look, I don't know where Helena is, as the cops are searching his house, and I've got to get to the fun fair. And they're like, by all means, just go. You don't have to be here for search warrant, which is true. And everything yeah. Law and order and everything else we know. But people like to be there because it's their house you're tearing up.
Right.
So he goes off and he says, but he does say to Art, like, can you keep him out of the garage? So that was one thing I didn't realize, is that Art didn't know that Leaky or the cast or body was
in yeah
the
well Art didn't know specifics yeah. I really liked, so Inger is, you know, checking through the laptop for Pouchy's client list and all of this, and Art has to be mm-hmm. mean, not necessarily mean, but make an impression. And so Donnie is all like, are you backing this play? And Art goes, Donnie, with this like sad mm-hmm. face on, and then goes, please, mm-hmm. very forcefully. He's playing the game as best mm-hmm. he can on both sides, but give as much like support as he can. And it's just like, oh, poor Art is put through so much. Because it's all their fault, like these people that he's helping. And yeah, so I was just like, ugh, yeah. Okay, come on, Art, you got this. And that's when he's like, yeah, just keep him out of the garage. And Art just looks so scared, like, what are they going to find? Because with the Hendrixes, you never know. You never know what's going to happen.
No, he's already.
And Art knows that.
He found out, you know, last season that he didn't know they were dealing drugs.
Right.
Oops. You know, and that they were using the soap store as a drug, you know, front. And he, you know, Art has been there. And he's like, I can't get, you know. But that's when he thought that there was like a department with people who were actually honest. And now I think he's given up on the entire, the entire force because.
Yeah.
Every time he turns around, there's some kind of Neo who's getting a badge and running things. So.
Yep, they're all Neos. They're all terrible.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's all fine. But then let's hop back over to Rachel, who has Kira and is snipping fingernails and asks if she remembers the car accident and how, you know, they thought it was a miracle, but really it's something more. And she's like, yeah, Auntie Cosima thinks that too. It's all science-y and whatnot. And so it was really cute to just kind of have that moment of like bonding, especially because Kira's like, everyone says, I can't trust you, but Rachel has been nothing but kind to her. And it's just kind of like, oh, all right, this is poor Kira. I'm just worried for Kira, which is my kind of default. And then it's a perfect time to flash back to Sarah, who is drinking in Felix's place because Felix has been told to not let her go. And so because they're stuck there, Felix is going to paint her, for which he starts taking his clothes off and putting the apron on. And Sarah's like, why do you insist on painting naked? And he's like, it's my process, which, you know what? That's what works.
And you have no influence over it. So shut up and look forward. And then she makes like, you know, one of her Sarah bratty sister faces. And he's like, perfect. You know, just be yourself.
Yeah. Yep. It was really cute. It was a good family bonding moment because they definitely needed some time together.
So back at the fun fair, somebody pops up we haven't seen in a while. I didn't remember.
I was like, hey, that looks like Ramon, but no, it couldn't be. And I had, you know, so I paused it and I hovered over the Amazon Prime on the thing and it was Ramon. I was like, oh, hey. And so Allison is obviously furious with Ramon, thinking that they got a bum deal when actually it was Kellerman making them pay again. And which obviously makes sense. You can't trust a drug dealer.
Right. Duh. You know, Ramon's like, hey, you know, it wasn't me. That stuff was all paid for. He probably just, you know, took advantage of your lack of experience in these things. And I'm sort of laughing because regardless if Ramon or Kellerman ripped them off, they still got a refund plus some. So being mad about losing the 30 grand seems like especially greedy to me.
Well, I think it was mainly the principle of the thing. The fact that she had trust this guy, you know, had trusted him with drugs and alcohol and guns and all of these supplies, and then felt betrayed. Yeah. And this was somebody that she felt safe confronting, and felt like she could actually take control of something, because here everything else was out of control. She had no control over anything else in her life. And here was somebody that she could confront without losing life, without losing her family's life, without losing her kids, any of that. And so I totally understand, especially because here's this guy that she trusted and he screwed him over. And yes, they got the refund plus. But again, that was not something that she had done. That was something Helena and Donnie had taken care of, mainly Helena. But still, it was one more thing in her life that Allison didn't contribute for. And so,
I mean, let's not forget that Donnie speaks Portuguese, and that was very helpful.
Yes.
With the drug dealers.
Yes.
But so you end up with Allison and Ramon sitting in the front seat of a car with him. I mean, he had a flask. He gives her a joint, and she's just taking everything. So that does say to me, she must have taken that pill before, and that kind of opened the floodgates of backsliding. But her, I'm just such a colossal failure, and having Ramon say, not to me, Mrs. Hendricks. You're not. And just her, him calling her Mrs. Hendricks and getting her really wasted. And her saying, like, promise me you won't end up in Bailey Downs, wondering what happened to your life. And so this is, you know, a direct line back to the flashback sequence, which is basically what Allison and Ainsley are talking about in their big blanket fort out in the backyard when they're all high on magic mushrooms. Of like, it's very yes. cute. I mean, yeah, you, again, Ainsley, oh, she's like the best friend, you know, taking her out there right. and listening to her and giving her very wise insights, which is that, you know, our lives here are filled with joy and kids and barbecues. But, you know, if you need yeah. to go after this, you know, I don't forget how she put it, but don't, you know, don't hesitate if that's what you need to do, is to go after something else. And so that's, you know.
It was mm-hmm. a meaningful moment, and it was a good flashback to a time when Allison was more sure of herself. I mean, she obviously, she hasn't ever really been super sure mm-hmm. of herself. She's always been kind of self-conscious, but this was a time when she was more, not necessarily happy, but she was not feeling as mm-hmm. lost as I think she has felt from then on. You know, when all of the clone club part started happening, she started losing more and more of her identity, and her sanity and safety mm-hmm. in her life. And this was a time when it was okay. And, yeah, it, we get back to, like Donnie, or sorry, Allison and Ramon are jumping in the bouncy house, which, yes, please, I want to jump in the bouncy house, but only if I know I'm going to be safe and mm-hmm. not break anything, but that's fine. And they're having fun. And Donnie is just like, what the heck is going on? Because, of course, he just left his home where the Neo police are completely mm-hmm. ransacking it and is hoping that they don't find it stuff in the garage. And he is mean in Allison's mind and pulls her out of the bouncy house and is just like, she is so frustrated because she's bouncing and he's mad at Ramon and just like all of this. And she's all just, what is your problem? Oh, just the Neo police searching our house. And he's freaking out. So she's just like, what's going on? And it just, I felt mm-hmm. so bad for Donnie, who was being the adult in the situation.
Yeah. He didn't get to jump in the bouncy house. But of course, he's wearing full on Scottish regalia and probably wouldn't be a good idea. So as he says, the police are searching their house and Art is looking around for Inger. His one job is to keep her out of the garage, and he sees her going into the garage with stuff in her hands.
Yeah,
so she's going in there to plant evidence, and Art calls her on it, and you know, she's like, hey, you know, here's all this blood from the Portuguese drug dealers, plus I mix some clone blood in there too. So it'll be Allison, you know, we both know it was Helena, but you know, Allison could be on the hook for this, and then they'll tell us where Helena is. And as she's doing that, she notices that, you know, the rug in the garage is not totally covering up a cement patch that catches her attention. And
yes, it's a different color, and it's just like, oh, this is not.
No, she kicks the rug beside. She's like, that kind of looks like a grave, and don't you think? And the next thing you see her doing is jackhammering, and I'm thinking, right? So is that a rental jackhammer, or did they finally buy one?
Right. Oh, no, they just keep it. Yeah, I'm sure they just keep it in the back of the car.
So there's relatively a lot of jackhammering in this series, and it all takes place in one spot.
Yeah. Yeah. That poor floor. So,
and Donnie is, he's calling Felix and Sarah because, you know, he's got police at his house. He's got high Allison, she's wasted and he has to do his dance, So he's busy with his dance and Felix says, okay, we better go. Regardless of what Mrs. S says, we're coming. And Donnie is sitting there with Allison's bag and he finds the tea and he's like, oh, tea, and drinks it.
Good. I'm going to relax. I need to breathe. And then sits and just chugs the whole thing, just like full body, glug, glug, glug. And I'm just like, oh, no, this is not going to end well.
Well, go.
But before we see that happen, anything terrible happen to Donnie, we have a little scene with Kira, and Mrs. S is checking on her. And, Kira's sad that her mom's not home yet. And she was playing with the mouse that Rachel had given her earlier, that apparently grows back its skin and fur.
This is a real mouse. I mean, not in the show, but in science, there is a thing called the African spiny mouse, and it does grow back its tail, and it's like a lizard, even its fur and skin as a defense mechanism. But Rachel says, I think Rachel says it probably doesn't hurt much either, and I'm thinking, I'll bet it does.
Yeah. Who really knows, though? Because it's a mouse and they can't really talk. But we then go and sit. Kira goes to her desk and opens the drawer and pulls out a knife. And I'm just like, oh, no. Because we know that Kira knows that she healed pretty quickly through her memories of the car accident, but also, the conversations that she's had with Rachel, including with the mouse and all of this. And so it's just like, oh, no, she's going to test her limits like you do when you are 10, 11 age and have been going through all of this intense stuff. That's all we see of Kira, which is like, okay, so that means the next episode's going to have sad moments, I'm sure. But we go back and Chad is going to sit with Allison. And you know that Allison's having her moments as she's, high and had been drinking and all of this. And Chad starts to they have a moment of connection, basically, where they're reconnecting over Ainsley, and Allison desperately wants to tell Chad that she's the one, that it's her fault that Ainsley died. And he just isn't going to listen to her. And thankfully it doesn't actually come out that, oh, by the way, I could have pushed the button to stop the garbage disposal, but I didn't, which is fine. And Chad has a moment, just says, we can't change what happened, but if we want to honor Ainsley, we have to move forward. And I think that coming from Chad and in the moment that he really needed it, that she really needed it, kind of helped support these future journeys. Because yes, whatever happened happened, it's going to be fine, and so they hug and just has this moment of Allison, okay, we can journey on. And so we don't see her leave, but she's going to go watch Donnie, who's dancing. in the Highland jig that he does, which was so great.
So, and that's, you know, that's a thing that he could do, and they found out he could do that, and they wrote it into the script.
Oh, that's awesome.
Prune, it's like, oh, yeah. You know, it probably was one of those nights where people are drinking and saying like, oh, well, yeah, actually, I've been a Highland dance champion, da-da-da-da. And the producers are going, we're using that. We're totally using that.
Yep.
And they use it to good effect. I mean, First of all, he looks great and he's impressive. But he is, the character is getting dizzy from the drugs that Allison had put in the tea. And he falls backwards on his tuchus.
It seems to be that he is wearing the kilt the way a true Scotsman does, which isn't actually true in the next little bit. When he actually gets up, you can see that he's wearing like gray underpants.
Kathy,
I'm sorry.
I need you. Yes. I mean, we know that based on the audience reaction, you know, people are covering kids' eyes. And then Felix says the weirdest people get one. And I was like, I'm going to have to ask Kathy what he means by that, because she will know and I don't.
I'm going to assume it means the size of his package.
Okay.
That's the
only
thing.
I was wondering if it was some kind of piercing or tattoo or something like that. But
I feel like that Allison would have mentioned, like that would have been a conversation that was had previously.
All right, that's good.
But you know what? It could be.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah. Audience, what do you think? Listeners, tell us what you think one is.
If you can tell us without getting your responses banned.
You don't need no pictures. Do not send photos. If you send photos, you will be blocked and reported. But you can use your words like an adult and let us know.
So he gets up from that and he keeps dancing for a bit, but he does. Then he passes out, falling face forward. And Allison is trying to help him get up. And Felix is there, which Allison didn't know. And it's like, yeah, just in time. And there is, some rumbling in the audience. And Nona Walker says like, well, looks like they're both alkies, which is obviously very rude and in this case not true. But I love when Allison says, I'm not a boozer. I'm a pill popper too.
Right.
You know, she gives her manifesto of that, don't, judge me. I'm a person who puts their heart into this community and I've atoned for my sins. And as she's looking around in the audience, she sees Ainsley sitting in the audience smiling. And it's like Ainsley is there to forgive her and tell her to move on. So very nice.
That's what Ainsley wants. And that's what, thankfully, her husband, Chad, provided as well. And so I was just like, oh, that's very sweet. This moment that she gets to have, basically, with her family, or she's on the stage trying to save her poor husband. And they have this moment and it's meaningful. And even though Donnie is sick, very sick.
Oh yeah, he's super sick. I just watching the scene with him growing up, I just willed myself to remember that all that sound is sound effects. It's definitely not the actor or anything the actor might be expelling from his innards, because that was a truly like hard to listen to and watch scene. So.
Oh, it was so difficult for me as well. Like it was so hard. It was difficult, but that's okay. We survived.
They're so Art has been digging in the garage, but he takes a break and he's talking to Sarah and saying, like, you know, there's no stopping this. We're like halfway to China by now, which is, anyway, right. Whatever. Not true, but and Sarah tells him, well, you know, it's Dr. Leakey. Because Art didn't know who was there. Plus, Art was worried it was Duco, but was like, yeah. Mrs. S took care of Duco, and do you think she would actually bury a body in Allison's garage? Like nobody should bury a body in their own garage. That's something I learned from Orphan Black now, too. It's not great to bury a body wherever, but if you bury it in your garage, it's going to constantly be a problem, and you're going to have to own yes. a jackhammer. But yeah, so, you know, let's see. Donnie wants to just tell where Helena is because he's sick and he's worried. And he says, she made me swear not to tell anyone except for Sarah, which was an unintentional dig at Allison, but Allison sure felt it. And she said, like, you know what? This is our doing, and Rachel should know that. I'm going to go make myself useful for once. And this is Allison, you know, the steel magnolia. Here she comes. You better watch out.
And I love the way that these next little bits mm-hmm. came together, because we're flashing between mm-hmm. the garage mm-hmm. and Allison, and Anchor's digging and goes, ooh, found the squishy. And you just know that she's
excited,
loving yeah. this. Anything she can do for these freaking, like, to try and get mm-hmm. rid of the clones. Like, she just has this anger towards them. And then we've jumped back, and Allison is in the elevator, and she has this big bag, and she's talking to Rachel about how she was in this before Sarah. She's in it for the long haul. She has this information and she knows what's going on, and throws the bag on the desk, and it's Leakey's head because it was removed yes. for science, as we remember. And we're reminded in the yeah, pre stuff
that that was Allison's big idea when Sarah had the maggot bot implanted, and asked Cosima, if we could get you another maggot bot, would that be helpful? And somehow, right. yes, Allison and Donnie dug up and decapitated and delivered a head. So she's already been there, done that. Once, so her getting that head back, I suppose, from the rabbit hole or something, and taking it over to Dyad to give to Rachel. And it was a really good moment, because we rarely see Rachel lose it, and she lost it, you know.
Yeah. She had no clue what was in that bag. And she talks about how she had chosen not to kill Aldous. She actively chose, because, you know, don't forget, Leakey was kind mm-hmm. of like her father for a long period of time. And she chose not to kill him. She chose to keep him alive when he started doing his things that he was doing, and all of this. And Allison is just like, you know what, if you file murder charges, it's all going to lead back to you. This is not, like, there's no reason for you to file any sort of charges on us, because it's going to go poorly for yeah. you. This is not going to end the way that you would like it to end. So yeah. maybe don't.
And you know, if Allison gets arrested and goes to jail, that's just, you know, a liability for the whole clone situation, because there's all the clones are out there, you know, that this was a problem that they haven't really yeah. faced so much as they did when there was the dead body of Katja Obringen, and there was a dead body of Beth, and there was Sarah, And anybody could put two and two together and figure out something was up. So all it would take would, you know, anyway. Rachel has less maneuverability than she thought she did. Plus, she's got Allison there saying, look, this is your problem, and hands her her phone and says, get them out of my house. Just like, yes.
Yes. She, it was so, she's just like, yeah, I'm not taking this. Like, this is needs to be dealt with, and it's your fault, mm-hmm. so you can deal with it. And she does. But we don't know for sure what's going to happen. But Rachel calls Anger as Anger is digging in the hole and can't identify the body because there's no head. And you see, so the way it's set up, Anger's in the hole and the camera is in front of her. And behind, you see Art mm-hmm. pull out the gun. Art is ready to do whatever is needed to protect his people, and they hear, you know, Rachel's like, you know, we're gonna dispose of the body and put the garage back in order, and Art, you know, holsters the gun before Anger turns around and is like, you could see on his face how much he really wanted to kill her. He wanted to kill Anger so badly, but knew that he couldn't just do it randomly, but was more than willing to do what was needed to be done to get this fixed. And yeah, so it was a pivotal moment in Art, I'm sure. But like they were just like, yeah, let's clean this up. So thankfully, they didn't have to refill the garage right. themselves. You know, the Hendrixes didn't have to redo the garage floor for who knows, probably, what, the fourth time right. at least?
And the bodies are gone. Yeah. Like, they're getting rid of the bodies. Yes. That's what Rachel told them to do. So.
Yep. So they hopefully won't have to dig in the hole in the garage again.
Yeah. So, and then that leaves Rachel and Allison. Did you realize that they had not ever met before this episode?
I hadn't really thought about it. Because, you know, at this point, anyone that knows of the clones, they know of each other. But it makes sense that they haven't officially, like, mm-hmm. actually met in person. And yet they've both learned of each other so strongly. They know each other. Yeah. And their personalities and all of that. And so it makes sense that this is a great way for it to be, you know, their first meeting. And the next little scene is Allison and Donnie, and Donnie's bringing probably Coco.
But before we go to that, I just wanted to get in that I think it was an important scene to have them together at least once, because then you got to see them, you know, it's like two steely, resolved clones who you underestimate one and maybe you overestimate the other. But when Rachel says, what would you have me do with you now? Allison is like, I don't care, but just leave Helena alone. And then she says, I should like to put my hands around your neck and squeeze. And that's when Allison says, then we are not so different, you and I. I'm like, and she leaves. And gets in the elevator. It was like, I don't know, hands in the air, like fist bump. I was like, yes, Allison, you did it. Which is what happens next then at the house is what Dunny says.
They have their moment of, you know, Donnie's so proud of his wife for standing up against Rachel and winning, like coming out successfully in a way that really no one else has. She managed to get this moment of triumph, and really it was all her, you know, it was her brains, it was her knowledge, it was her standing toe to toe with Rachel and coming out on top. It makes this the next little bit where she's talking about how she's felt like she's been rattling around in her own skin and is finally becoming herself. Like, it just, is so much more meaningful because she finally has found herself and what she can successfully do without leaning on the other clones. She's not, you know, being identified as a wife and a mother and a, you know, actress, creator of fall fair things, you know, the perfect Stepford mom, Stepford wife, and is able to, you know, be more of herself. And she is telling Donnie that she needs to go away for a while. She's not leaving, but she needs to see the kids and find out who she is outside of all of this, which is all of everything. And it's very sweet, the whole moment and the little bit where they sing together while Donnie plays the ukulele.
He's like, I know there's something you want, my Highlander. Because he had mentioned in the beginning of the show, it's like, I have to do my dance and we have to do our song. And so this was their song. And, I just cried when they sang it together. And it was so real. And also such a moment where you say these characters really came a long way to get to this point.
Yes, they have had a really long journey, and it's very, I'm glad that they have the moments that they have. It's very sweet.
Meanwhile, as the music is playing, they cut to a scene in a convent, and a nun and habit is praying, and there's Helena sitting on a bed and she's writing. And that's basically the end of the show.
Yes, but we know, I kind of figured that Helena would be with the nuns. That just kind of seemed to be a perfect place for her to go. And so it was really nice to get that confirmation. And she's writing in a journal in Russian, which means we can't read it, or at least I couldn't read it.
It's Ukrainian, which looks like Russian, but it's a little different. But it's also, you know, not sharp enough to read. Like, I would have to pause it and then... It's very nice looking handwriting, though, which I wasn't associating with Helena, honestly.
I was also kind of surprised. I'm not going to lie. I was like, oh, that is really well written. Like, her handwriting is very nice. Yeah. So I thought that was cool. Good for her.
Yeah. So thankfully, I think that means next week we will get back to Helena and find out what she is up to and how she's doing. But I think we have to say, Allison, you take a little vacation now.
Yes, Allison deserves it. Yeah. She gets a break.
Well, Kathy, I think this is the wrap of episode 3, season 5. We only have 7 more to go.
I know what's going on. I don't know how I'm gonna do, but we'll, you know what? Okay. We'll be okay. We'll survive. Yeah. We'll make it through. We can do this. Thank you all for joining us for another episode of SestraCast. You can find us online. We are at SestraCast.com or on Twitter at SestraCast. Jean is at MacGenie and I am at Mrs. Soup. And, you know, hang in there. We're almost done with the series. And then you can go back and watch it again and listen to the episodes again. And it'll all be great. And until we meet again, we'll talk later. Bye. Oh, I don't know where my ending went.